Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One parable of Jesus contains a dire warning. Today, a careful look at what it means that God will not forgive us if we fail to forgive others from the heart. Work through this teaching with us, and then purpose to be someone who is quick to forgive. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today, we turn again to Matthew chapter 18 for a lesson on getting forgiveness right.
There is a fifth truth that I'd like to make about true forgiveness, and that is that true forgiveness is really a choice. It is a choice. It may not be explained explicitly here in the text, but it is there. The man who is in the torture chamber, he can choose to forgive. Here is something that I believe is so devastating to many people. Many people take the point of view, I will forgive when I feel like forgiving. And then they define feeling like forgiving as once the hurt begins to subside and the hurt begins to stop, then I am ready to forgive. Fact is, the hurt never stops, especially if you keep it alive in your mind by resentment, which is really sweet poison. You think to yourself all the different ways that you would like to use to get even with that person, and these ways well up within you, and you imagine them over and over and over again in your mind, and you're saying, someday I'll forgive, but not now, because vengeance is so strong in your soul, and it poisons all of your relationships. That's why the Bible is so clear. We must choose to forgive. Now, at this point, I do need to make an explanation. There are some Bible teachers whom I greatly respect who think that you should never forgive anybody unless they ask for forgiveness. And I understand that. Because what they are really saying is that the goal of forgiveness is always restoration, and you can't be restored to somebody who doesn't admit his or her faults and evil against you. You can't be restored to a person like that. But what I'm talking about today is a kind of forgiveness that might not lead to reconciliation, but it is a giving up of all the bitterness and laying it at the feet of Christ and saying, enough already, I choose to lay it down. Some of you need to do that with people who are dead. I remember telling you the story years ago about a woman who took a train here from Chicago to Pennsylvania to go to the grave of her mother, who was a prostitute. And there at the grave, just to suddenly spill it all out, all the anger, all the shame, everything. Because you see, people who are dead can still control us because of our anger and because of our shame. And the Bible says that we are to forgive as we've been forgiven. And the message of this parable is very clear. God really has forgiven you much and has paid a tremendous price to do it. The gift of his son. And we are the ones who have been wronged and somebody owes us 100 denarii, maybe $100 in comparison. And we say, oh yeah, when it comes to God, I want mercy. Oh God, you know that I want mercy. You know that I need grace. It has to be from all of you to forgive all of my sins. It's all of you. But in our relationships with others, I want justice. And if I don't get justice, I'm going to hang on to this like an idol. I will not give this up, not even for God. And there are some people who look to their past. It is their idol. It is their calling card. It is their ability to be able to readdress those wrongs. Any healing that takes place is something like a scab on a scar. They peel off the scab just to see how things are going within the wound, and it's over and over again like Velcro to their soul. They will not let it down. They will not give it up. And one of the reasons is because they want justice. And you know something? It is not wrong to want justice. I'm going to explain to you a way by which you can give up your bitterness and maintain your sense and desire for justice at the same time. But you're not the one who's going to be administering the justice. That's the difference. Remember that verse of scripture in 1 Peter? I've used it in counseling so often. Forgive me if you've heard me say this before. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself unto him who judges justly. Wow. What Jesus said is, I don't need justice in this life. I'm willing to take injustice. Why? Because I commit my case to the Supreme Court of the universe, and I believe that the Father is going to eventually bring justice to this situation. In the day of resurrection, he's going to set the record straight, and I have so much faith in him that I can forgive and I can live with injustice without bitterness, because I've got a Father who's going to take care of the justice issue for me. And that's what God says to you and to me today. I'll take care of the justice issue. You have to be freed. Now, I do also want to emphasize that forgiveness is both an event and a process. In other words, just because you really lay it all down, it might want to eventually come all back. But you know, you don't really have to let it come back, at least with a force that you may be experiencing bitterness now, resentment, anger. You don't need to let it come back. Oh, it will, and sometimes it does, and that isn't wrong. But when it does, is you keep committing yourself unto him who judges righteously and tell the Father, I'm not going back there again. I'm not going to rehearse all this and take all of the wrongs that have been done to me. I'm going to actually lay it down so that I can walk away. And when it comes back, I affirm again that it has been committed to the Father. I have chosen to forgive. And I'm not going to be defined by my bitterness, by my abuse, by my hurt anymore. That's no longer who I am. And then by God's grace, you walk away. I've said it in a different context. You take all of the bitterness, the anger, the resentment. Some of you have that between yourself and your spouse today. Family members, fathers against children, children against their fathers. Oh, the list is endless. And Satan uses all of these offenses to let people be stuck so they can't move on to wholeness and healing, because they hang on and say, unless there's justice, unless there's this or that, I will not. God did not take kindly, the king certainly did not take kindly to this servant who said, I'll get mercy from the king, but I'll make sure that I get justice from the people who owe me. God says, you wicked slave. You've been forgiven so much. Can't you forgive the wrongs that have been done against you and walk away free? I believe that if there was the forgiveness of bitterness and restoration within our families, that we would see a spiritual movement in our church, in our city, throughout all of America. What keeps us from it are the walls of bitterness. And we say, I will sit here. And you die there. And you never move on. So, you willing to lay it all down today? Get rid of it. Here's what we're going to do. You can't do this just in a church service. If I were in a counseling room now and had 20 or 30 minutes with you, I would walk you through and just give you time to pour your heart out to God. That's a little difficult to do here. But I want you to promise me today that you will do that. Maybe this afternoon, cut out an hour, take whatever time it needs and say, God, this hour is for you and me, and we're really going to finally forgive from the heart, as Jesus said here. No longer, yeah, I forgive him, but boy, am I ever angry. No. You're going to forgive from the heart with God's help. And what you're going to do is to spend enough time there to deal with it that you can get up off of your knees and say, God, I sense a release. This bitterness is no longer going to be what I constantly focus on. And then ask forgiveness of the person wherever it is necessary and wherever it is feasible, so that there can be not only forgiveness, but in many instances, reconciliation. Can't always be, as I've explained, but in many instances, it can. And if you make that promise, while we sing the closing song today, I'm actually going to be at the floor right here. Why don't you come and shake my hand? Shaking my hand gives you no special blessing. There's nothing connected to it. I'll tell you why I'm doing it is I want you to make a visible promise. I will do what God showed me I must, and I am going to do it in the next day or two. You're making that promise. Would you do that? And it'll help you to nail it down and be done with it so that you can move on. Let's pray together. Father, we come with many questions. There are those who say, well, how do I live with someone when there's a constant need of forgiveness? Questions that we haven't entirely answered. But we've learned enough from this parable that we can't treat our fellow servants with justice and then expect mercy from you. You do give us mercy, and you expect us to exercise it. Make us a forgiving people. And for those whose hurts run so deep, oh, by your Holy Spirit, do what we can't. Set people free. May they release others so that they themselves can be released. And as your Holy Spirit has worked, give them the courage to say, yes, today, I'm going to follow through with what the Lord has shown me. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Luther. When I gave that invitation here at the Moody Church, many, many people responded. But you can respond wherever you are also. You can choose by God's grace to lay down that bitterness. Yes, you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus will be there to help you, because bitterness corrodes the soul. If you want to listen to this message again at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Meanwhile, thanks for your love and for your prayers and for your support. I'll see you right here next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded Getting Forgiveness Right, the third message in a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss Getting Parenting Right. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.